We all do it. I mean, we all see people in need, someone who needs help, and we don't help them. We sometimes have reasons, often practical reasons, but bottom line, we've seen someone in need, and we've chosen not to do anything to help them. It's not us at our best. It's not something we're necessarily proud of, but it's the reality, isn't it? So pull your chair up to the table with the Discover the Word group today as we continue our series of conversations based in Luke chapter 10 and Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan, the part of the story where we get to someone who may be a lot like us, someone who sees a person in need and chooses not to get involved, chooses not to help. That's going to be the focus of the group on today's Discover the Word next. And it is time to get the group back around the table for our midweek time together on Discover the Word, the small group Bible study from Our Daily Bread Ministries. Now, for almost 80 years, Our Daily Bread Ministries, originally known as Radio Bible Class, has been telling the story of Jesus and making the life-changing wisdom of the Bible understandable and accessible to people all around the world. And Discover the Word is one facet of this ministry in which your friends Marty Hahn and Elisa Morgan and Bill Crowder invite you to join them at the table where we explore sections of Scripture together. And right now, Jesus' familiar parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10 is what we're studying. And we're kind of working our way through the various characters in the parable and finding that in many ways, we're seeing ourselves in this story. And unfortunately, it's not always in the role of the hero. But that kind of reality check can be so healthy for us. So I hope you're profiting from these conversations as much as we are. So let's join Mart and Elise and Bill as they add another piece to this study we're calling Me and My Neighbor.
You've heard the term, I'm sure, being in the caring professions. Mm-hmm. What does that refer to?
A lot of times it refers to people in healthcare.
Is it just social work, period?
It could be, yeah, because I think you could apply it to folks who work in assisted living facilities and things of that nature as well.
First responders?
Yeah.
Could be.
Okay, right.
Yeah, yeah. I think clergy.
Clergy.
Would be considered in a caring profession.
That's interesting. You've taken that into another category now. Yeah.
Maybe even parenting is a caring profession if you really think about it, because parents are nurses, they're teachers, they're caretakers, they're everything.
Yeah.
What comes to my mind is in our conversations this week about the parable of the Good Samaritan is who was a caring professional in this story and who was not. And it's interesting because as we're looking at the characters, we're coming today to a person who was in the caring professions. We're coming today to the priest, and yet this priest doesn't stop and help. Let's pause for a minute and review where we are. This parable of the Good Samaritan, the story that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 10. Where do we even come to this story? There's a question asked before, and we've been looking at the characters in the story. The first one we looked at was the questioner. So who is this person, the questioner? Let's review about this context here.
He was an expert in religious law, right?
Yeah. Spent his whole life doing nothing but trying to figure out and explain Moses' law.
Yeah, and he was a part of a group of professionals that didn't take to Jesus so much. They resented him. They thought that he was disapproving of them.
They thought he was minimizing what they valued.
Yeah, and what they taught.
What did they value and teach?
The law.
And what was the purpose of the law?
It was the regulation of society according to the rules of Moses that God had handed down on the top of Mount Sinai.
And what was that supposed to accomplish within Jewish society, the law?
In society, it was to bring order to society, but in the individual life, it was to somehow bring them to rightness with God by fulfilling the requirements that were put before them.
And the result, though, was a culture of professionals who regarded themselves as righteous, as the right ones. And they looked at people on the outside of their boundaries as dogs, as dirty people, unclean people.
So these people who, to go back to where you started off, Elisa, were in a caring profession, weren't really known for caring very much.
Yeah, even among their own people who needed help. Yeah.
So the questioner, who was the expert in the law, we probably wouldn't ever categorize as being in a caring profession. And again, this context that is being presented is this push of the law versus the push of what Jesus came to do differently, to fulfill and to take us forward to a whole new way of living. The second character we looked at was this person in need. And what do we find out about him?
He's been beaten, left half dead, plundered of everything he had, and he is a person in need.
Okay. And what we're told is that he's making a journey and he gets beaten up and et cetera. Now, the next folks we're going to look at in the parable are people who could have stopped but didn't. And so our focus today is the first one, and it's the priest. Mm. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10. And today let's read verses 25 up to verse 31, because we want to remember, okay, what's real and what's the story that Jesus is telling? Do you want to start, Mart?
Okay, one day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?
What is written in the law, Jesus replied. How do you read it?
The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.
You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live.
Well, the man wanted to justify his action, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor?
So here, this is the real conversation. And at this point, Jesus tells a story. In this real conversation between the questioner and Jesus, between the scribe or the expert in the law and Jesus, are we seeing even the right questions asked?
Well, I think there's a big issue in the first century about eternal life and how it was defined and how it was achieved. And that was kind of an ongoing debate. And even in the Gospels, you see that issue pop up several times in people's dialogue with Jesus. So that's one question. When Jesus responds to the man and says, yeah, you've answered right. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbors yourself. You've answered right. This is what you need to do. When the guy comes back, I think that's where maybe it starts going off the rails, because instead of saying, who's my neighbor? In other words, give me an achievable goal. What he should be saying is, how can I do that? It's beyond me.
There's a way in which Jesus realizes that, of course, and so he tells a parable in order to get him back on track when he asks, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus in verse 30, Martin, you want to pick that up?
Okay. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road.
Verse 31, a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Okay, so the first person down the road here who could stop doesn't, and he's a priest. What should a priest have done? Is he in the caring professions?
Well, when you look at the first century priesthood, I don't know that very many of the people standing in the crowd would have considered a priest as being in a profession that's caring.
And yet they would define themselves that way, probably, that we're here looking after the sheep of God,
right,
the people of God.
The priests were responsible for offering the sacrifices, for doing a lot of the temple-related worship stuff, which from their religious perspective might have been caring, but on a personal level, there was some distance there.
That is so good. And so even those who are called to help the people be set right with God by offering sacrifices, they themselves might not be dirtying their hands. In fact, that's a great phrase, because if the priest had stopped to care for this plundered, beaten soul who was half dead on the side of the road, what would have that meant for the priest?
It could have even involved a certain sense of exposing himself to uncleanness, to something that was less than ritually pure.
There were 61 defilements in Jewish practice that could make you ceremonially unclean. Number one was touching a dead body. The victim is described as being half dead. I mean, if you put the priest in the best possible light for a second, he could have looked at him and maybe assume that he was dead, and that if he went over and touched him, now he's incapable of doing his job for a while.
I'll lose my usefulness to God and this nation.
Exactly.
And this road went between Jerusalem and Jericho, so the priests and other officials would go up and down this road often. He well could have been on his way to make sacrifices, and this could have absolutely set him back through a very complicated ritual he had to undergo. There are a lot of ideas of why he maybe didn't stop. Maybe he was afraid he'd be robbed. This guy's just a decoy. You know, he's part of the act and the robbers are waiting. Maybe he viewed it as a, well, this guy's getting his just desserts. You know, he's foolish.
Bad things happen to bad people.
Exactly. Or it could have been, too, that he was in a hurry on his way to fulfill his job. And who hasn't not wanted to stop because we were on our way, and especially on our way to do God's work. Mm-hmm. Anybody ever felt that way? That mm-hmm. that's what's important, the thing I'm going to for God, not this moment in front of me. All of these are reasons we don't know. And again, Jesus is making the point of telling a story in order to teach a greater truth, bringing us back to that. What is the point of the parable? And how might this priest's lack mm-hmm. of participating teach us?
Well, again, the question was, who is my neighbor? And the basic opinion of first century Jews was that your neighbor was your fellow Jew, that those outside of Israel aren't your neighbor. So it's incumbent on this priest to help this man who, it seems from the story, is an unstated Jew, but he doesn't do it, even in the most basic of cases where it seems obvious.
If we were to be followers of Christ ourselves, if we were to go back and join the questioner and ask, how do I inherit eternal life? We would mean something different in our question. But our sincere question would be, how do I do God justice and love in my everyday act? And Jesus answers with this parable of the priest who didn't stop, who maybe got confused about what inconvenience meant. And Jesus illustrates, and we're going to see that further as he goes on with the other characters and who actually is the neighbors, that we will be closest to God. We will be in right relationship with God when we learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the part of the caring that Jesus calls us all to participate in whatever profession we're in.
Yeah, even at our own risk and at our own expense.
Yeah, in that sense, we are all in a caring profession, aren't we? Well, you're listening to Discover the Word. Today we're talking about the priest in the story and loving others as part of our study called Me and My Neighbor with Mart DeHaan, Elisa Morgan, and Bill Crowder. Discover the Word is the small group Bible study that originates at the International Headquarters for Our Daily Bread Ministries in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And as a reminder, these Discover the Word broadcasts are also available as a weekly podcast. You can hear this episode or past episodes on your mobile device whenever and wherever you are when you subscribe to the Discover the Word podcast in your favorite podcast app. And that podcast version is also available on our discovertheword.org website. And there on our website, I also encourage you to explore the Discover the Word archives. You'll find hundreds of series, thousands of discussions, some going back as far as when Mart and Alice Matthews and the late Haddon Robinson were at the table, discovering the Word together. Click on the archive tab that's there on our discovertheword.org website. And just real quickly, I want to drop in a word about one of our more popular resources here at Our Daily Bread Ministries. Maybe you grew up reading the classic Our Daily Bread devotional. And it is not a stretch to say that millions of people all over the world rely on Our Daily Bread for daily comfort and encouragement and a deeper understanding of their faith. And there are more ways than ever for you to access those daily readings. Subscribe to receive Our Daily Bread in digital or print form when you go online to odb.org. Click on the Subscribe tab and you'll see what your options are. odb.org. All right, well, I'm Brian Hedinga, inviting you back tomorrow when Mart and Bill and Elisa continue the series called Me and My Neighbor. And the next character in Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, well, he sounds a lot like the one we focused on today. Another religious professional runs into the man in need. And so why two characters that are so much alike? We'll find out why when we get the group together next time right here on Discover the Word. Discover the Word is provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.